work all, you know, basically go to school during the day and then work at a packing plant in the evening on second shift. So that's how I became acquainted with that idea of higher education. The one thing that they always ensured is that we had a roof over our head, food in our stomach, and a quality education. After 12 years in the military, I received an honorable discharge, and I made my first attempt at college, which was a flaming disaster. The only skill that I had upon being released from the military is how to lead soldiers in the combat environment. So needless to say, when I went to campus and I started school, attending class was not exactly top 10 on my priority list. But working full-time and trying to go to school, I just couldn't make it balance, and I failed out. Fast forward another 11 years due to an injury, my whole entire world was turned upside down. I could no longer continue being a union carpenter, which I've been doing for the last 12 years. At this time, I had to reevaluate what options I had to me, and unfortunately, at 41 years old, without a degree or a certificate of training, there isn't much to do unless you want to be flipping burgers and asking you, would you like fries with that? Any type of formal academic training I had was in high school. After that, it was all military. That's when I realized how much effort was actually involved in going to school for 15 credits, 5 days out of the week, was like working a full-time job. At the same time, I also have my daughter I'm trying to work with, plus I'm her soccer coach, her volleyball coach, and any type of role model I can possibly be with my daughter. I was very fortunate that I had the Veterans Administration behind me. That was one big major plus. They're the ones that, with assistance, they took care of my tuition, they took care of my books, they even gave me a small stipend from month to month. Unfortunately, when the creditors start calling, you know, you're used to a nice income, you've got the nice 5 1/4 acres up in the Northland. Now the creditors are starting to call. I have no income, I'm going to school, and what the Veterans Administration gives you, it takes care of the schooling, but I'm missing out on many other things. Mortgage foreclosure possible, things that you're trying to better yourself time and time again, and people are just keep knocking on your door. You do what you can to try and maintain. Some of the toll that the higher education is making we're taking on my family alone. Now, it's not only just the finances, it's the emotional stress that you can see physically, depression, anxieties. So now I'm going to say the creditors, you got more doctor bills coming. So when you're a non-traditional student and you're trying to make your way in academic society, if you're not independently wealthy, it's very, very difficult to do. No matter how hard one tries, sometimes it's not even the strongest person can maintain. He stumbles, he falls, and I'm just very fortunate to the staff, the students at Denver Hills Community College, and my family, that every time I fall down, they keep picking me up. I encourage you to keep the financial struggle of students, including those returning to school and veterans, especially the veterans, in mind this legislative session as you consider ways to fund higher education. And thank you very much for your time. If you have any questions of me, please feel free to ask.
Okay, thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Books. Representative Gunter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Describe the GI Bill that you went through for college.
The GI Bill, sir, I did not even attempt. I am what they call vocational rehabilitation. So this is where, due to a military disability above 30%, I am available to go to school with tuition, books, and the small stipend that I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm. I know I got to go to North Hennepin using the GI Bill, and I even had a little left over back then. That's a little while ago. Thank you.
So, Mr. Books, when you went, you said the first that you went to school right after you were discharged, and then what you didn't, you dropped out, were you on the GI Bill then?
No, I was not, sir, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Well, are there any other questions of the committee? Representative Mahoney. Representative Mahoney, incidentally, was a good union carpenter. You know, we got two union carpenter business agents in the legislature. You could have been a legislator.
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't think he was a business agent, you know, and I think that's a prerequisite for carpenters to get up here.
I don't know.
I'm just a working hand.
We got a plumber and pipe fitter here, too, and he's going to ask you. Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair, I'm a pipe fitter, not a plumber.
Okay.
But, Mr. I heard that
from one of your...
The witness. You spoke earlier about you spent 10 or 12 years as a carpenter. Were you injured on the job, and did the workers' compensation come into play at all in terms of retraining?
No, they did not, because I was injured in my home, in my pole shed, picking up my compressor.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you. Do you have any idea what your debt's going to look like when you're through with this, or is your help that you're not going to be too far in debt?
Mr. Chair, I have no clue. And what I can honestly tell you is the things that I have to do right now just to make ends meet, you know, I'm even saving aluminum cans, for God's sake. But I'm doing everything I can. And the worst thing for me, I guess, was when I sold my Harley. That just broke my heart. But I did what I had to do to take care of my family. And first and foremost, is to take care of my family.
Thank you. Well, Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering if anyone's pointed you in the direction of foreclosure assistance through the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency or your county.
As a matter of fact, they have. Unfortunately, I made $103,000 last year, which does not let me qualify for a lot of assistance that's out there. ACAP, I've been working with them. I've been running into some, this paperwork isn't correct, this paperwork isn't correct. We need these finances. We need copies of your statement. The paper trail is endless, and I'm doing the best I can to try and keep up with it. Unfortunately, I just don't qualify for a lot of assistance that's out there. If I were to get, you know, kick my wife out and just me and my little one stick around, then I'd be fine. I would be fine. I could be available for all types of assistance.
Representative Clark.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question about you had an income last year when you were fully employed as a union carpenter. Have you been able to go to the financial aid department at your school to have a revised financial report done?
I'm currently working on that. It's in the works as we speak now. There's always some little glitch that always gets kicked back for some reason, whether the number wasn't correct. I've had people try to help me out, and in some cases it's just, it's frustrating.
Mr. Chair, just one follow-up. And have you worked with a counselor at Inver Hills to help you, assist you?
Yes, I have with the counselor, and I have attained most of my assistance through the students that have already filed for student aid and everything. They're the ones that are more knowledgeable about a lot of the programs that are out there.
So that's
where I go.
Okay. Mr. Book, thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We hope we can help out. The next person on the agenda, Travis Petchel. Travis, did I get that right?
You did.
Welcome to the committee. Just give your name when you get up there and go ahead with your testimony.
All right. My name is Travis Petchel. I'm 25 years old. I'm currently enrolled at Century College. I serve as the president of the Student Senate, and I'm also currently serving in the Army Reserves. After serving in Iraq for 13 months, I enrolled at Century College, and I am pursuing an Associate in Applied Science degree. I have been attending some online classes since my first semester in the spring of 2005. One of my classes had a partial D2L section in the course. D2L is short for Desire to Learn, an online program that allows instructors to give quizzes, post grades, add web links, and post information for students. This program was extremely useful for me because I was able to learn in many different ways and I was able to see my progress in this class. It provided another method for me to learn. Since my first semester, I've had at least one class that was either partially or completely on D2L. It has made going to school much easier for me. D2L has provided an opportunity for me to focus on my classes, and has also shown me how important it is to use technology for my program and my career. This past semester, I had an online math class. The only time we met was to take tests. The class was designed for students like me that work and go to school that have trouble coming in every day of the week to sit through an hour-long class, but have time on our own to learn. I think the online services that are offered through MinSCU have greatly helped my learning process, and I have seen it help out other students on my campus. It is now catching on with some of the faculty as well. In my painting class that I had this past semester, my instructor decided that he was going to use D2L. He put some extra paintings and some discussion items on it, since we didn't have enough time in class to go over them. It provided us with other outlets to learn about painting. I'm a horticulture student, and some of my instructors are using D2L to help us learn more about the industry. I believe that it is giving us a jump on our careers due to the fact that our industry is working with more technology and online services for the customers and the products. There have been a couple of problems that I personally have encountered with D2L, such as the server being down at times when I was trying to access it. Also, the site needs to be updated with additional programs and should be more interactive. I think online courses and technology are crucial to the students in the state because we need to educate future workers. To stay competitive, we need to provide students the online support and technology they need. In closing, I think that we're going in the right direction with offering the students these services. But like all things, we are growing, and we need your support to help us grow. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Travis. Questions, Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the witness. Yesterday's testimony highlighted some problems with the downloading and the uploading from the 4D to some robot kind of thing, desire to learn.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering if, because these were more rural schools that we had here yesterday, do you at Century College, which is a much more urban campus, have the same type of problems with the downloading of class instructions or the uploading of class assignments?
I know that when I first started on the D2L program, there was some slowness in some of the things of uploading and downloading, but I know that since that time it actually has gotten better because they have actually worked on it, and it seems faster for us at Century, I believe, because we are closer and we're not such a rural college.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Well, thank you. And Mr. Chair, maybe we should, as a committee, find out why rural colleges are having more trouble, and I hopefully you take that into consideration as we move on in the committee.
Representative Mahoney, when one of you sends me a photograph to my house with my computer and I punch it on, I can go split a cord of firewood before the photograph comes up. So I know what's happening out there with those old T-lines and that. And I don't even know much about computers, you know.
I didn't want to say anything.
I'm not a dinosaur. I'm a one-celled amoeba when it comes to technology. So. Go ahead, Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Petchel, I just have a question about D2L. You said that you're not able to take tests online. Do you know if that was a faculty-driven thing? I work at a college, and our students do take tests online, I think.
Yeah, there are certain tests, just some classes that don't have the, like my math class, we had to come in to take the test, which made it made us actually have to come in because it's more of a coming in process. So it's I don't know, more of a cheating process. That's why they kind of had us come in. I think that if we had it more interactive to make it more secure, that my math test, we could actually take it online and stuff like that.
So. Mr. Petzl, you know, it might help the committee. The governor's come forward with a proposal for military personnel for helping them augment their tuition on top of the GI Bill and that. And I see you're in the Army Reserve, you were in Iraq. So maybe just for me, and I don't know for other committee members, tell us how the money flows with the federal GI Bill. Do you get some money from the National Guard as being in the reserve, or is that a federal
The National
thing?
Guard is state-funded. The U.S. Army Reserve is federally funded.
So do you get... Are you getting money both as a right now being a reserve and because you served under the GI Bill?
Yep.
Can you tell us, if you don't mind, amounts in that?
Since I was over in Iraq for a certain amount of time, there's a 1607, which is a form. Usually you file a 1606 to get a GI Bill. That would be most military people who are in the Army and that have the GI Bill access. They can file for the 1606, and I believe the price for that is just per month is just under $300 that the GI Bill covers. For the 1607, it depends on your time in service overseas, and mine is just over $600 a month, which helps cover basically all the tuition and books and everything like that and other necessities that we need. So.
And do you, Mr. Petrel, get anything for still being in the reserve?
Yes. I have tuition assistance you have to file and they should cover all of your tuition assistance. That's if they still have enough money and you file all the correct paperwork on time and they don't send it back more than once. And so it's kind of a lengthy process, but after a few semesters now, I'm finally getting into it and I'm teaching the rest of my soldiers at my unit how to file for tuition assistance. So.
Well,
it's a great program.
Thank you very much for that. And I, you know, have yet to know the particulars of the governor's proposal, but I believe he has proposed to help on top of that with some state type of state grant program. And Representative Haas, are you carrying that bill with Senator Vickerman?
Yes, with a.
You know what's in your bill yet, Representative Haas?
yes, there will be help for that. It'll be last dollar in. In addition to all the other items, but it will be a significant help for soldiers coming back to go to college.
Thank you. Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the witness. You said if they don't send it back, and it sounds like there's a multitude of stories in that particular statement, nicely, subtly put. My question to you is, did you have a lot of trouble with things being sent back because you forgot to cross a T or dot an I or a page or initial something here or there? And if you did other students or people that you talked about teaching and helping, did they have a lot of that type of a problem with the financial aid systems out there, whether they're federal or state?
Yeah, that's mainly Army related. It's kind of one of those things that we always have a problem with. It's just a paperwork issue. If you didn't send in the correct thing or they changed a form or you needed an extra form that they didn't tell you beforehand. And I've heard of many stories of it coming back or they didn't get to it in time. It's just I think they're not equipped to handle all the soldiers that are going to school right now. So,
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
When those things got sent back and they weren't sent back in time, are you saying that some of these students had to drop out for the quarter or the semester?
I'm not sure exactly for them. I haven't heard of anyone having to drop course, but they've had to pay for the tuition, or hopefully the GI Bill will cover it, and then they can work something out with the college, at least from my point, that we were able to work out something with the college that we can do a pay-by-semester thing. So,
thank you.
Representative Severson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, in last year, we made a provision in the Veterans Bill that basically said that if veterans came back and their government payments were not able to come on time, whether it was GI Bill or something like that, that the universities would actually fill the gap there through their own resources until those federal funds came back in to help, because we were having some of the veterans who were actually taking out loans to try and fill that gap so they could actually register for the next semester. So,
yep.
If that's not happening, we need to know.
Yeah. It's actually gone really well now. You just have to let them know that you are applying for tuition assistance through the government and the Army, and then they'll put a note on it so you can still register for classes and everything like that. So you just have to ask.
Yes.
Thank you, Chairman. What kind of training have you received to do this paperwork properly?
Well, when we first came back from Iraq, they did give everyone the tuition assistance, the GI Bill training. And within my unit, I've taken stand on that, and I supplied packets for helping students fill up the GI Bill form and the tuition assistance for all the soldiers within my unit. So,
any other questions? If not, thank you very much for your testimony and enlightening us a little bit. I think the next person I'm asked to come down is Jamie Lind, in case we run out of time. I see you're from Cambridge, so you got a little farther to drive. Come on down and just state your name for the record, Jamie, and thank you very much for coming in.
Hi, my name is Jamie Lind, and I am a student at Anoka Ramsey, the Cambridge campus. I'm also president of our student government. I plan to graduate with my associate's degree at Cambridge at the end of this year, and then I want to transfer to St. Cloud State University and get a double major in social work and psychology. Eventually, I would like to have a refuge center for abused women and children. I do want to be a powerful advocate for the underrepresented, which is one of the reasons why I'm here speaking to you today. I'm a non-traditional student as well as a single parent. I decided to go back to college at the age of 28 after working in home health care for 13 years, getting paid very little. And I felt it was important to me to build a better future for my son and me. There are a few things that held me back from higher education in the past. One was the rise in tuition costs, and the other was high interest rates on student loans. I put off college for many years and thought it would be impossible to afford. I wasn't willing to go into very much debt. I also wasn't able to receive the Pell Grant or any other aid until I became a single parent, filing my taxes as an independent. But the turning point really for me was when a home health care nurse told me about all the opportunities available for people like me and people who are willing to put themselves out on, you know, and ask for this type of help. But before speaking to her, I always felt like I shouldn't take advantage of these programs. I was held back by my preconceived notion that people that did participate in public funding were just taking advantage of them. I've always been a hard worker, and I had to remind myself of what I had already contributed to my community and what I was would ultimately do when I completed my degree before I could actually feel good about participating in the programs. Excuse me. I also told myself that when I started these programs, I would be an example of how they could be used to improve your life and make a difference. I am a success story of these programs. This is another reason why I'm here speaking to you today. Since then, I've been able to get almost all my tuition covered by the Pell Grant and through the Minnesota Workforce Center. Leaving college with little debt is very important to me because it will give me the freedom to really enjoy my job, and it will also not weigh me down by the burden of student debt. Additionally, when I enter the public sector, I'll have a lower-paying job, but one that's very needed. I've also been a part of the Aspire program this past year. The Aspire program is actually modeled after the TRIO program, but because Anoka Ramsey College had gotten the funding, federal funding, we weren't able to get that at Cambridge. But it's a program that's designed for academic and personal support. It reaches out to the, you know, first generation, low income, or students and or students of color. This program has provided me with a personal advisor, integrated classwork, and tutoring to ensure my success. Programs like the Aspire have helped people all over Minnesota get a new start on life through higher education. Because people have believed in me throughout these programs, it has enabled me to believe in myself, and in turn has given me the confidence to help motivate other people to go back to school and help themselves. I've been able to help educate other men and women receiving public assistance through Chisago and now Mille Lacs County. Through my story, I try to challenge them to use public assistance as a stepping stone to a better future through education. I also live and work at a foster home for women and children. This foster home allows the women one last chance to learn the skills needed to reestablish custody of their children. I hope to be able to use similar resources to help them also reestablish a meaningful life for themselves. This does include education. If these programs can only serve limited numbers of students because of budget restraints, then what other options do people have to become successful members of the state's workforce? When Minnesota's workforce is more educated, the entire state will benefit. There are many ways that you can choose to fund higher education in Minnesota. I hope that Minnesota continues to empower people to go back to college no matter what their economic circumstances are. Thank you very much for your time.
Questions? James, Representative Clark.
Thank you. Ms. Lynn, I just want to say you're a very inspiring story of success, and I congratulate you on that.
Thank you.
And I wanted to ask you, when you said you were able to get your tuition costs covered by the Pell Grant into the Minnesota Workforce Center, I'm wondering what the key with the Minnesota Workforce Center was there. What program there were you able to access? Because maybe that's something some of our other students who are struggling with this could know about.
Ms. Lynn, go ahead.
The Minnesota Workforce Center has helped in my tuition, like with my tuition for my two-year degree. They also help with, I'm not too sure what the qualifications were. I know me as a single parent qualified me for a lot of those, you know, programs through the Workforce Center. But, you know, they pay, they have helped with my rent cost. They have helped with car insurance and car payments, you know, broken windshields, just things that, you know, if I don't have the financial resources, they help with a lot of those things.
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead, Representative Clark.
So I'm wondering if you might be willing to get back to us on that, because I'm thinking there are several programs too. There's a dislocated worker program. There's Grab Skills Partnership. I'm just kind of wondering what it is that's working for you, because so many of the other students are in such a position they just haven't been able to put it together. So, you know, if you could share, if you could find out a little bit more and help us look at that, that would be great.
Okay. Thank you. I know also I was able to get two people that I knew that went through drug rehab, and Workforce Center pays 47% of any person that has been through rehabilitation. So that's another service that they do provide.
Perfect.
Representative Haas.
Excuse me. Thank you. Now I'm a little bit confused with your grant out of the Workforce Center. How long a period of time was that good for? Usually they're only good for about 6 months. Did you have a grant that was longer than that?
Every semester I send in, you know, every month I communicate with them and tell them how things are going. Every semester I have to give them a copy of my grades. But I go through all kinds of testing before they could like approve my schooling.
All right.
Just to make sure that, you know, what I was going to school for was going to fit me.
Mr. Chair, follow-up question. And I was trying to get to the length of the time that your workforce grant was paying for. Was it for more than 6 months
yes.
of schooling?
Yes.
Thank you. I would also like to see that.
Okay.
Well,
I'll get back to you.
It's very interesting because I was going to ask the same question as you when I saw it in there, and I thought maybe Representative Gunter could help maybe shed a little light on this, because you know how, you know, they located some of the workforce centers on campuses around the state, and I didn't know how those programs melded. So maybe, are there any other questions for Ms. Lynn before Representative Briner?
No,
and then go ahead. Oh, okay, Representative Norton.
That's fine. I just had a quick question as to did you have any work requirements?
We have programs.
While you were participating as a student, did you have to?
Yes.
Okay. Could you?
I have to. I am a part of the work study program, and I have to complete a minimum of 20 hours.
Drug rehab was part of it.
Thank you.
Okay, and then you have questions? Any other questions then? Thank you very much. That was kind of interesting. I'm going to represent Gunther. Maybe you can just shed a little light.
I think there is a program within the Vocational Rehabilitation Section of the Workforce Center, which is a Workforce Center partner, and I think because of she having drug rehab,
I didn't have drug rehab.
What?
She has friends. I didn't have.
No, okay. Well, because of things like that. Vocational Rehab Section does do things like that. I know that.
Well, we'll get, when we move on and after our student testimony, we're going to have to, because of the new nature of this committee, find out.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things we can be more effective with. We didn't mean to start any rumors, by the way.
Right?
So, I think he was looking at me when he said that. So,
we did not spread any rumors?
We never do there. So thank you very much for your testimony, and that was a new twist on this whole thing for us. Roxanne White, why don't you come down there? And thank you very much for coming in front of the committee, and just state your name and go into your desk. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Thank you for allowing me to have this opportunity to speak before you today. My name is Roxanne White, and I am a 56-year-old accounting student at Hennepin Technical College in Brooklyn Park. Like many non-traditional students in the Minsky system, my educational path has been long and sometimes financially treacherous. I started college in the California public two-year system in the mid-1970s, pursuing an economics degree. I was fortunate to begin my education in a system that, at the time, was well-funded with no tuition costs to me. I paid for books and a few fees only. This made college an affordable option at the time when higher education would have been otherwise inaccessible to me. Following graduation with my two-year transfer degree, I transferred to USC into the economics program. However, I never made it to graduation, as I came upon an inability to obtain a school loan for my last semester, which created a financial hardship, making it too expensive to continue attending. Shortly thereafter, I moved back home to Minnesota and entered the workforce, where I struggled to make ends meet on a limited education. I worked in accounting for over 10 years, and although I became skilled in that role, I didn't have the degree that would allow me to advance in my career. I left that position to work with youth programs in the Minnetonka School District, but found myself laid off due to budget cuts 1 year later. I realized that I needed to retrain to find stable, well-paying employment. So I began the nursing program at Normandale Community College in Bloomington. I was unsure of how successful I would be returning to college at my age, but I was given a grant opportunity that allowed me to take college classes tuition-free, or a college class tuition-free, to test the waters. I liked what I found, and I learned that I could still survive college with all the youngsters, because I could still get good grades. This goes to show you, you can teach old dogs new tricks. In the spring of 2001, I again ran into personal hardship when I became very ill and had to leave school. I recovered, returned to college the following fall, and shortly thereafter, my dad became ill. I had no choice but to leave school again to care for him. In the spring of 2003, I maintained a desire to complete my education and was able to return to college again the following fall in the LPN program at Hennepin Technical College, which was close to home and had the program I was looking for. At Normandale in 2000, I was paying less than $100 per credit, and this semester I am paying approximately $125.50 per credit at Hennepin Technical College. When you add in my fees, I am paying over $165 per credit. I wanted to be a nurse to both get a better life for myself and to assist others. However, between low financial aid and high tuition, I have to work to be able to live while going to school. Nursing is an intense program with more than average credits per semester, and it became too much for me while working. As a result, I took the most practical route for me with regard to my skills and background and transferred to the accounting program. Although I enjoy the accounting program, I hate that I had to reconcile my career choice with financial concerns in that way. And I know that many other students find themselves in that situation. Now, in addition to school, where I take a full course load, I'm also a member of my Student Senate and have two part-time jobs totaling 20 to 30 hours per week. I work nights in a hospital because it pays well and offers full-time benefits, including the much-needed health insurance. but it also disrupts my sleep and study schedule. Sometimes I worry my schoolwork suffers as a result of my work schedule. Despite working so much, I continue to live in public housing in order to control my living expenses. I still consider myself lucky in that I am able to continue my education despite both health and financial obstacles. I only hope that I won't regret returning to school once my loan payments begin. At my age, I wonder if there will be enough social security to cover my loan payments as well as my minimal living expenses. Thank you for allowing me to speak to you today, and I would be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Are there any questions of Ms. White? Thank you. Reiner.
Mr. Chair, I just would like to make a comment and thank you for your courage. You've clearly had a challenging route in your higher education pursuit, and thank you for sharing your story.
Mm-hmm. Representative Moe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have to concur. I teach at Bemidji State University, and the students that inspire me and many of the other faculty to do our job are returning students who are making through with such courage as yourself.
Thank you.
So thank you for coming down to talk to us. And this is why we're here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Representative
Clark.
Go ahead.
And the tuition down will help us a lot.
Representative Clark, did you have a question?
Yeah, I did, just really quickly. And I hope you get to go home and get some sleep before you work tonight. I did want to ask you one question. You said that you were able to get a grant opportunity that allowed you to take a college class tuition-free. So it sounds like a one-time opportunity. Do you remember what that program was?
It's the Ellis program. It's set up. You can take, if you have not been, you have not gone to college in 10 years, you can take one class, and they will pay for one, for the credits for one class and the books for that. And it's to allow students to basically test the waters to see how they're going to do and how school is going to be for them. It's for returning students or non-traditional students coming back to school after having been out for a long period of time.
And Mr. Chair, is this through the college itself? Or
no, access? I believe it's a federal program.
Mr. Berg knows the program and can explain it, because I really would like to have Mr. Raddatz come down here and testify, because Representative Clark needs this for her committee at quarter after. So thank you very much for your testimony. And anybody that has any question on that program can get information from Mr. Berg. So Mr. Raddatz, come on down. And hey, how you doing? I recognize you.
Yeah,
I saw you up in Virginia.
Yep.
Welcome to the committee.
So first off, thank you all for letting us come here to tell you our stories. We really appreciate it. So my name's Tom Raddatz. I am more traditional student in that my last year of high school was 2006. I'm 19 years old, and this is my first year at Anoka Ramsey Community College, the Coon Rapids campus. My senior year of high school, our class was sat down in our auditorium and given a two-hour presentation about college and debt. They basically told us that a community college is cheaper than a state university, and a state university is cheaper than a private college. The overriding assumption, though, was that if you go to school, you will be accumulating debt. Having heard some of the remarks from Chair Rukavina today and in the past, yesterday also, I think it's pretty much safe to say that 30 years ago, a presentation like the one I received wasn't required. This is kind of a stark contrast between then and now. A little bit on my past. My father, after working nearly 20 years in the sheet metal industry, was laid off from his job in Coon Rapids. Prior to this, my mother had decided to be a stay-at-home mom because the daycare cost for my sister, who's now 6 years old, the cost for that would be too much for her to warrant working full-time. After the layoff, my dad moved to the transportation industry and drove truck over the road for 2 years. He then found work locally with USF Holland, again in Coon Rapids, doing more driving and also dock work on more local routes. Just before Christmas, though, actually, just within the last month, things were too slow, and he was laid off again. My parents have been together for 26 years. Neither of them has graduated from college. They recently had to file for bankruptcy because of the work situation and all that. So this was all happening while I began at Anoka Ramsey. I began at Anoka Ramsey because I want to move beyond the economic strife that my parents have had to deal with. Over the last 2 years, other than living under their roof, I really have been fiscally independent. I've been working since I was 15. So, I applied for and received the Pell and Minnesota State grants as well as work study for this current school year. Even with the grants, though, I still had to pay $200 out of pocket for tuition just for the semester. It's probably going to be the same next semester. As well as nearly $400 for books. Again, I'm expecting that again next semester. If you add in transportation costs to college, also if I'm at the college for more than 8 hours a day, you need something to eat. So if you add in all that, so that's $30 to $50 a week. I'm still paying a pretty significant amount to be going to the cheapest two-year college in the Minsky system. Currently going for my Associate in Arts degree. Once I complete that in 2006, this will just be my general education requirements towards my bachelor's degree. So still have a lot to look forward to. So in my future, I've really considered a few different options. I've thought about the University of Minnesota. I've thought about the military, also Hamline University, which I'll explain about later. The military seems like a good career move. However, it's an option I would like to avoid because of the current state of affairs, but that's a whole other issue entirely. So I've decided that I am going to get my bachelor's degree. So, like I said, one of my options is the University of Minnesota, Twin Cities. If I choose to attend and live on or near campus, I'm looking at excluding grants, about $10,000 a year. This would include tuition, rent, transportation, food, school supplies, and whatever else I need to live comfortably. And I just want to say, like, in having grown up, like, in the situation that my parents are in, I know what it's like to have that debt overriding you, like, and it's something I'm really afraid of. I mean, it's kind of scary. So that being said, another option that I've been considering is applying for Hamline University's Presidential Scholarship. Right now, my GPA is 4.0 after my first semester at Anoka Ramsey, and if I keep it above 3.5 and get accepted to Hamline, there's a chance that I could get the Presidential Scholarship, which will cover a large majority of the tuition. Once I complete my bachelor's degree, I will be the first college graduate in my family. So I'm excited for that. My parents' economic situation in the lower middle class has always had an effect on my opportunities. I want a level of success that will propel me beyond the economic class that I grew up in. That's why I want to graduate from college. The problem I'm facing is uncertainty about how I'm going to pay for tuition at a four-year university. Anoka Ramsey has provided me, a student from meager income, access to a future. And I will most likely acquire my associate's degree without much debt, thanks to the state and federal grants. But other than that, my future is really in limbo. My parents have never been able to help, and now I'm asking the state to help me and other students like me by stopping the increases in or actually lowering the cost of tuition. Additionally, I understand the importance of making the students' voices heard. On my campus, just this past election season, we registered over 200 students to vote for their first time. We saw the impact that you, our elected leaders, can have on us, the state's students. We are looking to you for creative solutions to the problems facing Minnesota's higher education system. That's the reason we've asked you to lead this great state that we have. Thank you again for taking the time to listen to us students, and I welcome any questions.
Any questions of Tom at all? I just want to say again, and I know I met you, I think, up in Virginia, and I appreciate the fact that you are participating in your government, too, and I'm glad that you mentioned the fact that we're the ones that can make a decision here and have to make a decision, and you can hold our feet to the fire. I really do want to thank all the students from the two-year institutions in both the metro area and the greater Minnesota that came. It's been a learning curve that I need to be on, and I appreciate it very much, and we want your continued input as we move along this session. For the members, we're going to be meeting Tuesday right after session, and we have the four-year university students coming in from the institutions in Minsk. And then Wednesday, we will be enlightened by the governor's speech. And looking forward to that. And then on Thursday, we are going to be starting on the University of Minnesota. I believe we have all the campuses coming in on Thursday. The following week, then, we're going to be talking private college students, for the nonprofits, and then the for-profits. And then we're going to get into some of those programs dealing with workforce development, laid-off workers, workers in transition, all the different programs that we're overseeing in this committee. So thank you, members, for hurrying up. We again apologize for the little delay. And with that, members, have a nice weekend. Meeting adjourned.